There is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
is wherever you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. The first thing the Lord has asked me to share with us this night, soon to become morning, is what I titled Rekindling Intimacy with God. Amen. That's the place to shout glory, right? Yeah, shout glory. Thank you, Lord. Rekindling intimacy with God. I command that pain to disappear from your body right now. Command that disease to leave your body right now. Angels of God, minister to God's people right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, as people hear that, the word, they are changed in the name of Jesus. As they hear this word, they are delivered in the name of Jesus. Spark a stronger desire for intimacy with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The second thing I'm supposed to share tonight is decimating demonic devices. So, let's start with this first one. What is intimacy? Intimacy is a state of a deep bond between two people. Intimacy is a state of a deep bond between two people. And the word intimacy is from the Latin word intimus, which means innermost or deep. Amen. If you are here and you are angry, just angry. Can service become so like this? Staying all night. Eh? You even give us break. You're just praying, singing. I want to tell you, first of all, I can relate. Are you with me? And I wish I could say I'm sorry, but we are not doing anything bad. Your life will be better for it. I can relate to. I remember those days growing up in church. People should close now. What are people doing? Guy, how ignorant I was. I remember those days. There were times where I saw my mother pray for 8 hours. Like, pray. Pray in 8 hours, like it's just they pray, they go. And myself, and please help me put off. I'll be angry. What is this? But now, I have discovered in the realm of the spirit, the real clock is not your watch. In the realm of the spirit, the real clock is your heart. There are things you want to bet that 5 minutes prayer is enough. And those of us who cook, you know, if you want to boil indomie, it's not the same time to boil beans. Are you with me? And even that, there's still a factor of size. If you are boiling indomie for 4 people. Let me leave indomie. It's a great food, but let me leave it. Let's talk about rice. If you're boiling 1 cup of rice, it's different from boiling rice for naming ceremony or rice for dedication. It's a different thing. When you are boiling 1 bag of rice, it's not the same time when you are boiling 2 cups of rice. Are you with me? So, I have come to discover that in our Christian journey, God will never force you to do anything. Do you hear what I just said? God will never force you to do anything. He will work with you at the level you want to work with him. Do you hear what I said? If you want to work with him at 2 cups of rice level, he will work with you at 2 cups of rice level. Are you with me? When you now say, Lord, I am ready now. Now I want to start doing things that will touch the nations. I want to do bag of rice things. He will not say, okay, that's what you want. No problem. Let's go. He will not condemn the one that is doing 2 cups. So, are you following me? He will not make the person that is doing 2 cups feel bad. But he will tell the person, there is more shallow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why, see, you know, when we have stretch prayers, have you not noticed? When we have stretch prayers, I don't say, everybody must come for stretch prayers. That's not what I say. I say, we are praying for 6 and so hours. If you can make it, great. And even if you can make it and you cannot stay to the end. And I don't try to make anybody feel bad. But the truth is, when your spirit man is hungry for more, you will look for more. You will look for more. When I got born again, I used to read what they call personal development books, self-help books. All these, you can make it. If you are fired to refire, you can aspire. And those are great stuff. I used to read books like John Mason, There's an Enemy Called Average. Average is to be the top of the bottom and the bottom of the top. I used to read all those things. And I was like being blessed by, I wanted to say something now, but YouTube can flag me. I'll say it like this. I'm not dragging anybody. This is my Bible. I have what it says I have. I am what it says I am. He drops the Bible, they don't open it. I used to listen to things like to those sermons. A time now came in my walk with God, I was not satisfied. It's like I was hungry. Only me went to go and find Kenny Hagin. I went to look for Kenny Hagin. I went to look for E.W. Kenyon. I started studying. At some point, I was so hungry for the things of God. Some books and names I will call. Some of you may not have heard them before. I started reading books like A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God. Hi! I started reading books like E.M. Bounds, The Power of Prayer. I started reading books like Watchman Nee, The Spiritual Man. I started reading books like How to Hear God, Arue Tori. I started reading God Generals. Part 1, part 2, part 3. Finished everything. I was hungry. There is where you'll be hungry. One plate of rice no go do you. Are you with me? Intimacy is a state of deep bond between two people. Man has a strong desire for intimacy. That's why we love. That's why the subject of love is a very, very touchy subject. We have a desire for intimacy. And because we are made in God's image and likeness, man's desire for intimacy, for friendship, for relationships, for connections, it came from God. Are you with me? We look forward to intimacy. Let me tell you something. Even if you don't understand what I'm saying, you know that not all your friends are on the same level. There are some friends that are your main G. This person, ha. There are some people that will call you. You can just say, I will call the person later, Joe. There are some people that will call you. You will feel like you are committing sin to busy their call. You know what? I'm in a tight corner. Let me call you back. Can we talk later? Because of how dear that person is to you. Are you with me? It's different levels of intimacy. Different levels. Different levels.
And we see, just to prove that intimacy is God's idea, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis 3, verse 8. The Bible says, this was after Adam and Eve sinned against God. And they heard the voice of God. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. You know what? Can we all read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. So, according to this text, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, around this time. Around this time that we are in now. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What does this mean? You know, sometimes you can read verses in the Bible and you just skip over them. First of all, for them to have hid themselves, it means they had become accustomed to the voice of the Lord and the presence of God. Are you following me? They had become accustomed. They knew it. They knew what the presence of God felt like. They knew what the voice of God felt like. And even though they had just sinned, they knew that God is coming. Let's hide. It seemed as though this was the way God usually functioned with them. It was as though he had this particular time when he always came in the cool of the day. Some of you, listening to me, some of you even think that, oh, I'm not even spiritual enough. God has been coming like that to the cool of the day. 3 a.m., you all wake up. Why wake up, safe? 3 a.m., you wake up, you sleep back. 4 a.m., you wake up, you sleep back. When the Lord has seen that he cannot wake you up, you will now wake up by 7, your real normal time. Then you now write, light of the world, don't wake. Up and grateful. But the Lord was coming at the cool of the day. Are you with me? Some of you, you may have noticed, you wake up every day with a song. Every day there is a song that you wake up with. You know what's happening? God is trying to tell you, I can befriend you if you're available. I want to be your friend. I want to be intimate with you. This is God telling you. Are you with me? Is God knocking at your door? Those things you are getting is a signal that I'm interested in you. Because you see, intimacy is the result of love. You only want to be intimate with someone you love. Are you with me? You only want to be close to somebody that you are interested in. So, God is interested in you. Can you tell your neighbor, God is interested in you? This is very important too. Do you know what it means that God is interested in you? Let me tell you something. You know, I'm teaching this like this. It was what solved my self-esteem issue. When I grew up in a very wonderful family. I lost my dad 1997, November 6th precise. And I grew up in a big church, in a church where we, let's just say, about 3,000 to 5,000 people. And some people may drag me for what I want to say now. There were times where there were people that they call, let me put it like this, kingdom financiers. When they come to church with their big, big jeeps, they just open the door, their children come out, and us, we come on Okada and Legedis Benz. ROV 11. You know that car? The car that is connected to your body. Your two legs make it 11. Legedis Benz. There were many times I felt, why am I like this? Why wasn't I born there? I'm serious. I struggled with low self-esteem for a long time. Then after that one, I think after I managed to agree, all fingers are not equal. When I got to school, there were people that were more intelligent than me. So At a point, I subconsciously believed that anybody who is light-skinned is wiser, has more intelligence. I am telling you. No, I am telling you what I experienced, because I discovered that all through my primary school and the early days of my secondary school, it was only the fair people who also wore glasses that were smart. All of us that were black, is like our brain too was the same color. I cannot forget some names. To tell you how much it affected me. We are laughing, but it affected me. I cannot forget Agezi. Light skinned with, you know, those glasses that have rope. Once I see you with that glass and rope, I said, this one, you know, book. We are the leftovers. But then, after JS3, we had this long break. And that was where I encountered Jesus. Or better put, Jesus encountered me. What happened? I was frustrated about my Christian life. I felt like the more I struggled to live holy, the more I fell into sin. That was my struggle. So I told God. I said, it's like Christianity is not for me. But if it is for me, this is what we'll do. The way I'm talking to you, that's how I spoke to God. I said, I will carry this Bible and I will read this Bible. I will read this Bible every day. If after 5 years of reading this Bible, my life does not change, I'm going to tear my copy of the Bible and I will not be a Christian again. So I began to read the Bible. I read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. I forgot when, even the pledge I made, I forgot it. I kept reading the Bible. So on some days I'll read the Bible, I'll sleep off. But I noticed the more I kept reading, the drive to read more. Then I got to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Hey! But the gift of God is eternal life. Gifts? But I thought you said the wages of sin, meaning for my sin. Let me tell you how I understood it when I read it though. What I read there was the wages of sin, meaning one sin. Not the wages of sins. What I read there was the wages of sin, one, is death. That means for every single sin I commit, every single sin, I deserve to die. And then instead of me to get that, you gave me a gift. I led myself to Christ. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. That means if I sin 10 times, I deserve to die 10 times. If I sin 100 times, if I thought a wrong thought in my head, if in my head I remove the woman's clothes, I have sinned. So because of that, I deserve to die. So if I did it 10 times, now 10 deaths await me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The next Sunday I was in church. They said, altar call. I went out. I said, let me receive the gift of eternal life. I got born again. And then I began to discover that God was interested. By the time I resumed in SS1, they had formatted me. Because now I discovered I got born again on Sunday. On Monday, it was as if something was just telling me to pray. God was trying to get me to be close to Him. God, the owner of the universe, was interested in me. Some of you have wondered why I like singing that song. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. I discovered firsthand that God loves me and is interested in me. Can you say after me, God loves me? And he is interested in me. Say it again. God loves me. And he's interested in me. That's why no matter how big this church gets, in this church, we have millionaires. In this church, we have millionaires in their hundreds. Are you with me? But you see, I will love everybody. You know why? God is interested in them. Even the one that doesn't look like it today, God is interested in you. God is interested in you. God is interested in you. I used to ask God clear questions. The way I'm talking to you, I'll be talking to God. I say, God, okay, you speak to me. They say you speak. I'll be, oh yeah, speak to me. Show me. It was there I discovered that God does not need to say anything to speak to you. God does not need to say anything to speak to you. I was praying. My prayer was not, it doesn't used to be long that time. I will pray 15 minutes in tongues. And that 15 minutes, Jesus. In my mind, I've prayed up, down, heaven, earth, all the prayer points you can think of. I've prayed. And the Lord said to me, now, this was what I got. He didn't say, I didn't hear a loud voice, but from the way it came, it said something like this. Tomorrow they will give you a solo to lead in the church, in the choir. Then, typical me, pragmatic Christianity. God, if it does not happen, is not you. If it happens, it is God. And lo and behold, I went and it happened. I was like, oh, God has started talking to me. I'm emphasizing on this point because many times, many of you have misunderstood Christianity. You think Christianity is, okay, like this. That face up. Or just look at, you are doing something more serious. Please now, help me. Please. This is how some people, their Christianity is. Jesus Shanu. God, I beg now. I beg, reason your boy. Reason me now. Yeah, a good actor. Reason me now. Help my life now. Please now. Okay, I'll give my tithe. Okay, see, I'll join church now. That's what many people think. Okay, God, I'll be holy now. I'll be holy now. Whereas, God is the one that was, if you check it very well, God was the one actually trying to parole you. God is the one knock. He says, behold, I stand at your door and knock. Behold, I stand at your door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in and soup with him. You see, let me tell you something here. When a person rejects Jesus, rejects Christianity, you are displaying the utmost form of pride. You are saying, who is God to talk to me? The King of Heaven is interested in you. Are you with me? Can you say after me, the King of Heaven is interested in me? Let me tell you what I'm really doing. I am actually laying foundations for your spiritual growth. I am laying foundations for your Christian. If you understand what I just explained to you now, if you understand what I just explained, you will, half of your struggles in Christianity will end. Somebody asked me one day, Pastor, why do you sound so confident? You seem so confident. I said, do you know who is behind me? The Bible says faith worketh by love. I am too convinced God loves me. My faith is strong. I can't fake. I thought you would say after me. I can't fail. The King of Heaven loves me. I cannot be defeated. Are you with me? And then man sinned against God and lost that intimacy. But you see, God was so interested in man and so interested to be intimate with man, in spite of our sin, God was still coming after man. That's why anybody that showed any slight interest in God, God would pull the person close to him. Do you realize that everybody that God worked with in the Old Testament were not saved? Do you realize that? They were still the result of the fall. The Bible says, and God worked with Enoch, and Enoch worked with God. Enoch did not have the Holy Ghost in him. And God worked with Abraham, Noah, David, Daniel. All those people did not have the Holy Ghost. They were not the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If Enoch can have a walk with God, how much more you? Are you following what I'm saying? Are you with me? So, in spite of the limitation of sin, God was still interested in building a relationship with man, and God was overlooking sin, which obviously is not in his nature too. And when God could not take it again, he said, you know what, let's handle this matter of sin so that I can fully stay with my people. Are you with me? Let's handle this matter of sin. That's to tell you how intense his love is towards you. Praise the Lord. And so God had to deal with the issue of sin. John chapter 14. Now, I'm trying to show you how the whole tapestry of salvation in Christ Jesus, the whole redemption package, was because of intimacy. Are you with me? I'm trying to show you that. Praise the Lord. I know this is it's past 12, right? The sleep is coming. The wind is blowing. I understand. But be strong in Jesus' name. Don't worry. What's the time now? 12:30. Ha! I have to be fast though. Hey. Been enjoying myself since 12:30. Praise the Lord. John 14, verse 1. Say after me, I'm blessed. John chapter 14 from verse 1. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2, everybody. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, everybody with a loud voice, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wait. So, that where I am, there ye may be also. Some people use this verse to say that God is doing construction work in heaven. That Julius Berger is building your mansion. First of all, heaven is a spiritual place. You cannot use physical cement to build a spiritual place. Secondly, when he says that where I am, ye may be also. As when Jesus was saying this, where was he? He was on the earth. So what did he mean that where I am, ye may be also? He was not in heaven physically. Are you with me? He was on the earth. So when he said that where I am, ye may be also, what was he saying? First of all, you have to get the idea of I go to prepare a place for you. I go. Where was he going to? Now, if you study the previous chapter, chapter 13, he was telling them about chapter 12 and chapter 13, he was telling them about going to the cross to die. So when he was saying, I go to prepare a place for you, he's saying, I am going to the cross and this will prepare a place for you. Are you with me? that where I am, it may be also. But if that's still confusing, let me take it slowly. Please, are you with me? What I'm sharing with you is important too. Please. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Everybody, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Do you know that verse is confusing? He did not say, in my Father's mansion are many houses. I can understand houses in a mansion. But when you say mansions in a house, who is following me? Are you cold? We are put off. I see some messages have been put off. We just put off everything. Hallelujah. I can feel the cold. The cold is real. Please, if you want the AC put off at your side, just signify with the protocol so that it's good. Praise God. Once upon a time, the church was too hot. Now, the church is too cold. Give Jesus glory. Anytime you feel that cold, it's a reminder. Invite more people to church so that the cold will spread. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. First of all, what did he mean in my Father's house? Where is his Father's house? Where was his Father's house? Isaiah 66 from verse 1. Let's do small Bible study. Isaiah 66 from verse 1. Isaiah 66 from verse 1. Please, let's reduce the movement to. I know there is cold. I know the sleep is trying to touch us, but reduce the movement, please. Isaiah 66 from verse 1 says, thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? This is God talking. So, God in this verse is looking for a place of rest. God in this verse is looking for a house. Please, are you with me? You know, if you read the Bible, I don't, because of time, let me just be fast. Spirit beings seek rest. And you know, if you've read the Bible enough, you see Jesus says, when an evil spirit has been casted out from a man, it goes around seeking rest. And when it findeth none, it comes back to the place. Are you with me? Where it was originally casted out from. And if the place is clean, it will go in and bring more 7 wicked spirits. So that means spirits look for rest. And as we are seeing in this verse, you know God is a spirit, right? God is in search for a place, a dwelling place. God is in search for a place of rest. Are you with me? And then, before you build your own house and give him your own physical house, it says, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. Meaning, God's place of rest cannot be a physical building. He can come into a physical building, but he cannot rest there. You can't tell God that that's the place he will fully rest. He's the one that will choose his place of rest. Are you with me? It says, for all those things. So if you want to build a mansion for me with your own physical blocks, with cement, with castings, with building. It says, for all those things my hand has made and all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look. So that means he's telling you that my dwelling place will be in a man. Are you following me? My place of rest will be in a man. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. So, when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, what was he referring to? He was referring to the fact that he was the Father's house. The first person, you know, God has been seeking a dwelling place right from Genesis, like I showed you. And he wanted to make that the first man, Adam, his dwelling place. That is the reason why Adam was made in his image and in his likeness. The reason why man was made in God's image and likeness, so that God, man can actually contact God and contain God. Let me explain. How will I explain it to you that you will get it? Do you know why schools have curriculum? There is a National Education Board that creates curriculum for all schools so that no matter the school you are going to, it will be the same thing. If you went to school within a certain time, when so and so was in the curriculum, whether you went to a boarding school or a day school or a government school or a private school, you should have heard those things. Are you with me? Because the curriculum was the same. So by the time man was made in God's image and likeness, God wanted a man through which if he enters, he will not feel like he's in a strange place. I hope it's not too deep now. So man was made in God's image and likeness so that by the time God decides that I will dwell in man, it will not be a strange place for God. Praise the Lord. Does that make sense? So man was designed to contact God and contain God. But you see, because of sin in the first man, it could not work. And so the very first man that God was able to make his house was Jesus. Are you getting me? And so even the prophets of old, you will see that the Spirit will rest upon them, they will prophesy and will lift. The Spirit will rest upon them and will lift. The Spirit will rest upon them to do a certain job and it will lift. But by the time it comes to Jesus, in John 1 verse 33, you know, God told John, upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain. So the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus and remained on Jesus. Because finally God had found his first place of rest. But you see, the plan was that he will rest in all men. And so, Jesus is now saying, in me, who is my Father's house, are many mansions. Are you getting me? In me, my Father's house, are many dwelling places. As I am going to the cross, I will die and I will be broken and I will become the body of Christ. And so, everybody now can have their own dwelling place in Christ. Are you following me? So, the death of Jesus and his redemptive work on the cross created room so that just the same way God rested in Christ, God can now rest in you. That's why he said, when I do this thing that I've done, where I am, you will be also. Oh, Jesus. The way some people are looking at me, Pastor David, you did not tell us that to be deep like this is not too deep. You can get it. Say after me, I've gotten it. I can get it. It says, and if I go, John 14 verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So when a person gets born again, that is God, Jesus receiving him to where he is. So already, Jesus was the house of God, but when you get born again, you also can be the house of God. Are you following me? So you see, from after Christ died and resurrected, the tone of discussion about the new creation changes. You will see verses like Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, has quickened us together with Christ. He has raised us together with Christ. He has made us sit together with Christ. Do you not notice that he's now saying together with Christ, together with Christ? Because right now, where he is, we are also. The kind of bond that Jesus has with God, God has brought us to that kind of bond also. The kind of intimacy that Jesus had with God, God has brought us to that kind of intimacy also. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, the chapter of redemption can be summarized in one word. He did everything so that we will be where he is. See, all the work that was done in Christ for our salvation, for our redemption, for everything that Christ did, amongst all the great reasons why it was done, number one, it was done so that there will no longer be restrictions between man and God. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 that your sins have separated you from God. Right now, that scripture does not hold for the child of God any longer, because the boundary of sin has been taken away. Are you with me? So right now, where he is, we are also. Where he is, we are also. You will see 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, blessed be the God who has called us, who has called us unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's saying that God called you to have fellowship with him the same way Jesus has fellowship with him. Are you with me? It is the faithfulness of God that was manifested in the fact that the same way Jesus has fellowship with God, you also should have fellowship with God. Are you with me? So, why must we have intimacy with God? Number one, intimacy with God is the fulfillment of God's plan for mankind from the beginning. It is the fulfillment of God's plan for mankind from the beginning. Praise the Lord. Brethren, be strong. Amen. Intimacy with God is the fulfillment. For those who like English, like I do, it is the consummation of God's plan for mankind from the beginning. Colossians chapter 1, I will just read it because of time. Colossians 1 from verse 25, it says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, everybody read from here, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every time I read this verse, it makes me, I'm wondering, he's telling you that all that God was trying to do from the beginning is to bring Christ in you. Are you following me? Look at John chapter 14. John 14 from verse 16 to 20. It says, I will pray the Comforter and he shall give you, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19, a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Verse 20. Everybody read verse 20. Read it again. What kind of bond is this? He's telling you that at that day of redemption, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me. If we stop there, that's good enough. Jesus is in God. We are in Jesus. That's fine. But he did not stop there. He says, in that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Meaning, the day of redemption, by the coming of the Holy Spirit, has ushered us into a place where God wants us to be so intimate with him that they don't need to ask for Jesus. If they look at you, they've seen Jesus. He wants your intimacy with God to be so much that you can mistake Jesus for you and they can mistake you for Jesus. Can you imagine? If the Bible is what it says, then that means intimacy with God is a big deal. Are you with me? So number one, it is the fulfillment of all that God was doing from the very beginning. Number two, intimacy with God is what bears fruits. And let me explain. You cannot really know God or manifest God if you are not intimate with God. The old saints or the old Christians used to say it like this. You can learn about God by reading. But you can only know about God by intimacy. There is a knowledge of God you cannot have without being intimate with God. Are you with me? When you read the Bible and see things like, I am the vine, ye are the branches. See, he's saying that he is the source code. Eh? You are so connected to him. And because you're connected to him, do you discover that? Do you know that it's the branches that carry the fruits? You will never see the fruits of the tree on the stem. It is actually on the branch. Genesis chapter 4 from verse 1, it says, and Adam knew his wife. And she gave birth to Cain. Meaning the child that she produced was the result of the intimacy between the husband and the wife, right? In a normal marriage setting, a child is supposed to be the result of the intimacy between the husband and wife, right? Or father and mother. In the same way, God is using that same example to explain that there is a kind of intimacy you will have with me. It is called knowledge. That type of intimacy is what will bear children. It's what will bear fruits. Let me make it a little deeper. Have you seen Matthew 7 verse 23 before? Where God says, depart from ye, ye that walk iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me. Is that, and I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. It means that the real proof of salvation is an intimate walk with God. The real proof of salvation. Let me tell you something. We are living in a day. Please, don't miss me here. Oh. We are living in a day where people think that they can be Christians and not be serious with God. So they say things like, I don't carry church on my head. Me, I believe in God. I go to church. I don't do all those God said to me. I'm not too, but me, I'm a good person. I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't do. But he's telling you here that if you don't have that kind of knowledge of God, that intimate knowledge of God, he's telling you that you are not saved. He doesn't know you. Because the same word here, depart from me, I never knew you, is the same word for Adam knew his wife. That's the same word. So that means for you to be saved, you need to, it has to be an intimate knowledge of God. You cannot claim that you are a child of God without that intimate knowledge of God. And let's look at it. Even if you want to argue it from a spiritual lens, if you want to look at it from a natural lens, it's the same thing. Just imagine. You know, something happened to me years ago. I used to be a teacher in a school somewhere 2009. I used to teach mathematics, physics, and all of that in that school. And there was this child, her mother was one of the teachers in the school. And then one day, I was, I had closed from school and I was going back home. And this child, her mother was also carrying her home. And this child saw me and started shouting, Daddy. This child was shouting, Daddy. So now, initially I thought I was not the one, so I just greeted the mother. But the child was pointing at me and was shouting, Daddy. Do you know? Hi God. The next day, two ladies that were around that area called me. Say, did you not tell us that you had a child? I said, I don't have a child. They said, you have a child. Wasn't you that the child was shouting, daddy? After a while, the news started spreading that David actually has a child somewhere. At the point, I was angry. I said, which woman I sleep with now? I said, I don't have a child. When they saw, I was really angry. They said, okay, stop. I said, is that your child? I said, no. Now I can understand. Look at God. So put yourself in the shoes of God. How can somebody come and say, I belong to you? Say, I never knew you. I no born you. Are you following me? The same way I was looking at that child, I'm like, okay. See, let's clear the air. This is not my child. I don't have that kind of intimacy with you for you to call me daddy. Are you following me? So they wanted to change the story that is he adopted. I say I don't have a child. I did not adopt a child. I don't. So just the same way you want to reject a child that you know that you are not responsible for, God will also reject the child that he does not know. Now, I'm not saying this. If you have a child out of wedlock, it's still a blessing. I'm not saying this. Are you with me? I'm just explaining something. Please, praise the Lord. If any of such, anything related, that child may be a blessing to you. Are you with me? In fact, that child is a blessing. Amen. So I'm using that to explain that you can only be called a child of God when you have that intimate relationship with God. Hallelujah. See, you know why this is a big deal? The way we are doing church today, there are too many people who have nothing with God. Let me tell you something. There is a difference between, listen to me, there is a difference between a genuine child of God who falls into sin and an unsaved person who is committing sin. It is different. Are you with me? Let me give you an example. Parents in the house, sir, you can relate to what I want to say. Have you seen your child do something wrong? Eh? Your child did something wrong. You know it's your child that misbehaved. Then somebody else is beating your child. There is a way the person will beat your child, you will not be angry. Who knows what I'm talking about? Your child was the one that misbehaved. But there is a way they will beat your child. You'll be like, okay, it's okay. Oh yeah, come. You know why? Even though it's your child that misbehaved, then a part of you is connected to that child. There is a way the person will be dealing with your child. You say, I don't agree again. Mm-mm. Are you following me? In the same way, when a Christian sins, it is different from when an unbeliever sins. The way God handles it. You know what I used to say? I better be in Christ. Let God deal with me. Who is following me? Than to be away. For those of you who don't know, the coming of Christ is close. It's close. Today is not the day for that. But if you are not serious with God, now is the time. Forget about everything. Get serious with God now. Get serious with the Lord. Let him not meet you by surprise. The way God will handle the unsaved. Read the Bible. The Bible says that the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah was a token of what is coming. Eh? Fire fell from heaven with stones. You see, it's token. Hey. One day like that in the university, we were casting out the demon from a guy and the demons are there shouting. Is it because of Jesus? Oh, it's just because of Jesus I'm going. It's just because of Jesus. He said, don't worry. All of you that are not saved, when the rapture happens, I will come. I will eat your flesh. He said, don't worry. When these Christians go, the ones of you that are remaining, you will see what we will do. We will tear your flesh. The demon was talking like that. So we'll pluck out your eyes. That's what the demon was saying. The people that will be left behind, that's what the demon was saying. That when we go, tell your neighbor, when we go, they will pluck out their eyes. We'll eat their flesh. That is the demons. It's not even God's judgment yet. So number one, intimacy with God is the fulfillment of God's plan. Number two, intimacy with God is what bears spiritual fruits. You see this one, eh? Too many Christians are lightweighted because of no intimacy with God. No substance. And finally, intimacy with God is the secret of spiritual refreshing. Intimacy with God is the secret of spiritual refreshing. Can you tell your neighbor spiritual refreshing?
Pastor, my Christian life is just dry. I'm just feeling dry. I don't know. Prayer life is dry.
It means you've been far. Intimacy with God is the secret of spiritual refreshing. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. It says, you read something like this. Okay. My people have committed two evils. Can we all read this verse 1 to 3? Go. And hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You see, the devil, will trick you to think that the world or every kind of pleasure will give you the satisfaction that only God can give you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewn up cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The day this thing dawned on me so much was when I had a disciple when he told me, Pastor, I'm feeling bored. I said, so what do you want to do? He said, I want to go and watch a movie. I said, great idea. He was surprised. He was like, Pastor, I thought you would tell me that. Why are you going to watch a movie? I said, for the fact I'm a pastor does not mean that I don't believe in having some fun and having some nice time. I said, I'm going to watch the movie. So he went. That was when Endgame was raining. Who remembers Endgame? Okay, sorry. So there was a movie like that, for those who don't know. And he went. He watched this whole thing. He came back. He was excited. I'm like, so how do you feel now? He said, I cannot really explain how I feel. He said, my annoyance is that the movie ended. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, with all the excitement, every time I watch a movie and I see him and the movie seems to be excited, after a while, when the movie ends, my joy is short-lived. I said, this thing you just said is proof you are beginning to understand. When the Bible says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. It is only with God that pleasure is forevermore. On this earth, every other pleasure has beginning and end. Are you with me? Intimacy with God is the secret of spiritual refreshing. It's a secret. It's a secret. As some of you, you get to a point and you just feel cranky. You're just angry with yourself. You cannot explain why. You're just tired of life. You cannot explain why. They ask you, what is making you angry? I don't know. I always say it's mood swing. It's not the only mood swing. It's mood jangulova. And of course, there are some times where mood swings are caused by health issues, maybe change in hormonal cycle and all of that. That's a different thing, though. That's one. There is an explanation for it. Somebody, if, like our females, if they are going through their monthly cycle and their mood is changing, it's not easy, so just bear with them. Okay. Are you with me? That's a different thing. There is a health reason. But we are talking about when there is nothing of that sort. You are just not yourself. You need spiritual care. Enter intensive care units. Some of you, you cannot remember the last time you cried in the presence of God. Do you know that's the bad sign? Do you know? Because what tears show is that God has been able to flow from your spirit and permeate your emotions and has been able to break your soul to respond to Him. Ah, Jesus. If you read the book of Psalms, you will see David say things like, "Oh my soul, why art thou cast down? I will rejoice yet in the God of my salvation. Oh my soul, why art thou disquieted in me? Arise and give Him praise." See, until God has started touching your soul, refreshing has not happened. When you see people in church, when worship is going on, some people are like this. Yeshua. Like when we're praying and that atmosphere. And I'll be like, what are the worries we will serve? You too do. Not only you got love. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. I send them. Your name be praised. As it is in heaven. Pastor, say that is this short pastor, that is big head. Do quick round of this service now. Let's go. Our Father, your Father, hallowed be thy name. You know why you are there? Your soul is still hardened to God, and at that state, refreshing will be difficult. Are you with me? So when you learn to stay with God, God begins to work on your heart. Then from doing like this, the person starts. Then you know newcomers. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Your name be. Lift your hands to God. After a while, you are worthy. Angels are singing, you are worthy. After a while, the person is bending down to cry. After a while, the person wants to kneel down. You see, your soul is responding to God. See, my God. As I'm talking now, I just heard somebody in the spirit. See, Pastor, you know they tire. Since when they talk since, you know they tire. Hallelujah. I've preached for 11 hours before. Like I was standing. Preach. The people that were listening, they sat down and stood up. Sat down and stood up. I was standing. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor refreshing. And that's the crux of this meeting. So quickly, how do I build intimacy with God? The Word of God, prayer, worship. There's more I can say about that, but time has gone. But the Word of God, prayer, worship. Exposure to the Word of God, exposure to prayer, exposure to worship. Now, somebody may want to ask, but Pastor, I pray, I read Bible, or I listen to the Word of God, but it doesn't seem like I have that intimacy with God. Usually, the missing link is what I want to talk about. And then I'll round off this session. What's the time now, please? 2 minutes, 1 minute past one, or 2 minutes past one. Tell your neighbor, don't be tired. I have been on this stage since 10:45, and I'll be here till 4 a.m. Somebody, short break. If not for the sleep, I know you are not tired. I know you are not tired. It's just the sleep. Let me tell you, going forward, prepare for all night. Learn to sleep. Are you with me? Learn to take 2 hours sleep. Stop pressing your phone. Keep the phone small and sleep. Why do people do the religious activities and yet they are not intimate with God? Why is it that some people can pray and yet they are not intimate with God? Why is it that some people can worship and they are not intimate with God? Why is it that some people can read the word and they are not intimate with God? It is one simple reason. They don't engage their hearts. See, let me read the scripture to you. Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 21. Chapter 30 verse 21. Do you know that it is possible to be praying, but your mind is in ice cream? You can even be speaking in tongues. My God, just as they are speaking in tongues, they are arranging the we pray now. Shakabaragabalakada. We are praying now. Shabrakapalato. After this prayer, please keep my shawarma for me. Unless I will blow your head now. You are a very stupid boy. And la karaba shaka balato roboko sete le kabaraga shekete teke sete li kabaraga ba shekete. Oh, this time don't you? Rukezuke za palato kapata ba shatata. Pastor David. Pastor David. Rada baraga. And they are praying in the spirit. Some people can be reading the Bible. They will read one verse 15 times. And Jacob said, you know what is happening? It's not because they are not reading it. It is that their mind is somewhere. After when I finish from here, I go show and see, you know, get sense. And Jacob said, and Jacob said, people are wicked in this life. Oh. Their mind. After a while, when they have read that verse like 10 times, sleep. And Jacob died. You know what is happening? Now, I'm not saying this to shame you. It does not. See, for me to be talking, that means I have experience. Do you know what I discovered? This is why. Do you want to be very intimate with God? Start your devotions with worship. When you worship, pray. And then read the Bible, your distractions are less. Did you hear what I said? For instance, if you noticed, many times I like to sing before I preach. It is because by the time you have worshipped and sang, you have usually, worship starts from the flesh, then you get into the spirit. You have to wade off some distractions. When you are calmer, you can receive the word of God. So, intentionally remove distractions. Also, let me mention this one. Deal with the spirit of haste. Haste the spirit. I'm just teaching you how to build intimacy with God. If you want to read the word, if you want to read the word and encounter God, if you want to pray and encounter God, that thing in your mind, maybe just pray fast, come out. May I just do 2 hours, come out. That haste, that is the reason why we made this meeting an all night. Because all of us, everybody here, I believe, is above 15. So you understand a little bit about love. There is a way, even if you want to ask a girl out, as a guy, let's assume this girl's name is Eunice. Hello, Eunice, can I see you? Say, talk fast. I have a meeting. I need to rush to see. There's a way she'll be saying talk fast. It's not when she's saying talk fast, she say, you know, I just want you to know I love you. You know, I'm interested in you. The haste does not allow you pour the thing out very well. Brothers, am I talking? Praise, are we together? Haste. See, intimacy can never be built in a haste. You have to destroy the spirit of haste. When you want to, see, you want to encounter God, you tell yourself, we dwell. We dwell. So you open the Bible and say, Lord, I am here to dwell. And sometimes, can I also help you? If it seems like a part of the Bible is sounding a little bit, maybe too difficult for you, go to the Psalms. Go to the stories. The Bible says, every part of the Bible is inspired by God. Even in those stories, go to the book of 1 Samuel. Read about Samuel. Read about Elkanah. You know what is happening? As you are reading those stories, you are gathering your hearts together. By the time you read to chapter 16, they begin to talk about David. Gradually, your heart is coming together. They begin to talk about Abiathar the prophet. They begin to talk about Nathan. What you don't know is that as you are reading those stories, the Spirit of the Lord begins to seep into your heart. Your mind is gathering together. You are learning to stay. Are you with me? I know. I know you may be tired though, but your spirit is interested in what I'm saying. Are you with me? And then from the stories of the patriarchs, God is beginning to show you where you should adjust, where you should align. Soon your mind is changing. Your mind is being renewed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, put your heart into it. Can we read that Jeremiah 30 verse 21? Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 21. 1, 2, 3, go everybody. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. So, for who is this that engaged his heart? So that means it is the person that engaged his heart that he will cause to draw near. Are you seeing this? This is the reason why in a service, the same service that somebody was crying under the presence of God, another person said, I don't feel anything. You know why? In that same service, somebody put his heart and God drew him near. Somebody did not put his heart and God said, day your day. Let's be respecting ourselves. Are you following me? In the meeting, somebody's like, God, I want to experience you. God, oh God, oh God. Another person. This church, And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach. Let me give another example. Has it ever happened to you before where you had a meeting that was so important to you. No matter how sleep was catching you, the meeting was for 7. 4 o'clock, you woke up. You know what happened? Your spirit man got information. There is a way you will engage your heart, eh? Oh my God. You will engage your heart. Some of you, you need to be more hungry for God. You need to engage your heart. Hungry for God. Engage your heart. Hallelujah. So when you are engaging your heart, you engage it in prayer. Let me tell you something. There is a way you engage your heart in prayer. 5 minutes prayer will carry fire than somebody that prayed for 1 hour. 20 minutes prayer, you close your eyes. Ataka parata, Jesus satala kambarate, rakapataka, ekapalata. Yeah, it's not that one. So, those days, during my youth service, somebody said, you cannot be praying a prayer that touch heaven and have the hand to kill cockroach. Rakatapalata. You will ignore that thing. Don't worry, you know, I'm talking to our people, right? International audience, they will understand. The annoying one is those cockroaches that fly. Those ones, they are demon spirits. Why should you be flying? Eh? Which is fly? You two are flying. But I'm saying there is a way you will focus. You will not have time for distractions. Somebody is saying, Pastor, are you now saying that we cannot reply chat? There are sometimes you are praying and there are pressing issues for you to reply. But know when to tell yourself, this reply will not rob me of my from God's reply. So you put that thing on flight mode or snooze or whatever and say, yeah, stay your day, your day. Close your eyes, you engage your heart. So we're going to practice it now. Jump on your feet. Thank God all our churches, what I call Lagos, Abuja, we have space. So this is what you're going to do. I want you to notice the energy level in your spirit and in this place. When you focus, we're going to pray for, what's the time? Is it up to 1:15? On the dot. 1:15. For the next 15 minutes, we're going to pray, whether in the understanding or whether it is in tongues, you are going to pray and you are going to gather your heart into the prayer. My God. You know, I was reading about the revivalists. One of the revivalists, his name was Daniel Orekoya. He could not read the Bible because he was an illiterate. Jesus appeared to him and taught him only one verse of the Bible. One verse. And the verse that God taught him was, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved. That was the only verse he knew. And all he did was he would come in the morning, kneel down, raise his hand and be praying, heal me, O God, and I will be healed. Save me, O God, and I will be saved. That from that verse, he became a mighty miracle worker. He raised almost 23 people from the dead. For you I'm talking about when a man puts his heart into God. After me in the name of Jesus. Lord, my heart is open to you. As I pray now, I encounter you. Jesus, Son of the living God, I want to know you. I want to be intimate with you. As I pray now, I encounter you. No keyboard, just pray. Everybody, pray. Thank you.
you.